Peace. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Angaranga Trinadapi Sunichena Tarad Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Ivakevalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatiranyata. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome. It is a great honor to be here, and it's also nice to see a room full of friends. I know all of you. Thank you. Before we start our Bhagavad Gita class, I beg your indulgence. I am inspired just to say something about a verse that was spoken by Lord Kapila Dev when he was instructing his mother, Devahuti, which is also cited more than once in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, both by Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author, and Lord Chaitanya himself. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satang Prasangan Mama Virya Sang Vido Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Tad Joshanad Ashvabarga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. So the first two words, Satang Prasangan, that means what we're doing tonight. Association of devotees. Devotees are just the opposite of demons or atheists. Devotees are persons who believe in the existence of God, believe in obedience to God, and if they are pure devotees, want to develop pure love for God. How many here want to develop pure love for God? Then, you don't want to, yeah, of course. Yes, you do. But you have to show the world. Yes. So then you're all pure devotees. Very good. It's not. Yes, if you're aspiring, you're accounted in the group. Me too. I'm also aspiring. So, by the association of devotees, Mama Virya Sang Vido, Lord Kapila is God, so he's saying that talks about God in the association of devotees is virya, very, very powerful. Then he says, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. That these talks about God in the association of devotees is very pleasing to the heart and to the ears. And it says, Rasayana. It's a source of sweetness. Gujaratis, they have this favorite thing they like to eat, rus. I think it's mango with ghee. Well, every place I've gone, they've always put in ghee. Yeah, just a drop. Just a drop. So, for Gujaratis, this is one of their favorite things, rus. They like to drink this rus. So, talks about God in the association of devotees is rasayana, a source of sweetness. Tad joshinat ashvabarga vartmani. And if someone cultivates talks of God, tries to follow those instructions, then ashu, very quickly, Atvavarga Vartmani, the path of liberation. So there are two paths. There's the path of degradation and the path of liberation. So anyone who is a devotee of God more or less is on this path of liberation. More or less, eventually, the devotee of God will be delivered, will be liberated, will be saved, because they're walking the path of liberation. Those who are not, then they're walking a different path, the path of sense enjoyment, the path which will degrade. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that on this path of degradation, there are three gates: lust, anger, and greed. So the path of degradation, you have to open one of these doors: lust, anger, and greed. And Krishna says these are the doors that lead to hell. Whereas if you associate with devotees, especially on a regular basis, if you associate with devotees, you're walking the path of liberation. So that's why these kinds of gatherings are of utmost importance. Because what it's doing is that you're advancing on the path of liberation. The more you become steady, the more you become fixed on this path to liberation, then you're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to full liberation from this material existence. Now, the payoff. Lord Kapila says that if you cultivate knowledge of God, service to God, love of God, if you cultivate this, then three things occur one after the other. The first one, Shraddha, faith. By associating with other devotees, your faith becomes stronger. For instance, even in the material world, they know this. I know people who belong to AA. And one of their things is association. They have these AA meetings. And by hearing others talk about their addiction to alcohol, by that association, it also helps each other. And there are so many associations or societies. So by associating with like-minded people, you become more faithful. So similarly, in this path of liberation, when we come together regularly, that's strengthening our faith. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing, rati. You become more attracted to God. You become more inclined. You become more favorable. You become more interested. Little by little, you should notice that your interest in God is increasing. That's another symptom of associating with devotees, leading to the final word, bhakti. And here, it is translated by Srila Prabhupada. Here he translates bhakti in this sense, love. Love of God, which Lord Chaitanya says is the ultimate goal of life. Love of God. We are all householders, so we have some idea of love. There's love between husband and wife, love for the parents, for the children, love of the children for the parents. So you have some sense of love, and this path of liberation leads you to the point of love of God. And as we know, in order for there to be love, there has to be persons. So that means there's two. There's God, the person, and you. It's a relationship. It's an eternal relationship. It's always been there. That your relationship with God has always been there. And it never was a time it was not there. It's always been there. Just that we have forgotten, we have neglected. But this Satang Prasangan, intimate association of devotees, will gradually lead you to once again, you will reconnect and have your full relationship with God as a person. That's why we can say this phrase, love of God. And it's easy. All you have to do is use your ears, use your tongue, and engage them. Hear about God, talk about God, and taste the food offered to God, which is also called prasad or favor, blessing. So let's all chant one time, everybody. All right, so now, thank you for allowing me that. Thank you very much. So where is he? How do we do the Bhagavad Gita class? Yes, Prabhu. All right, so I asked Shyam what was his favorite verse of Bhagavad Gita, and he said right now it's chapter 6, verse 17. So chapter 6 is Dhyana Yoga, where Krishna explains the Hatha Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga system in a very summarized, brief fashion. Lord Kapila explains it a little more elaborately. But Krishna's explanation is good enough. And in verse number 17, it's very practical. So please repeat. Yuktahara viharasya. Yuktachestasya karmasu. Yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dhukaha. It is said in the Bhagavatam that if you chant it three times, then it becomes very, very nice. So let's do it two more times. Yuktahara viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapnava bodhasya. Yogo bhavati dukaha. It's mentioned that Lord Brahma studied the Vedas three times and came to the conclusion that he should surrender and serve Krishna. One more time. Yuktahara viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapnava bodhasya. Yogo bhavati dukaha. Please repeat. Yukta. Regulated. Ahara. Eating. Yeah, so this is very applicable to me, especially right now. I'm glad you picked this verse. This is something I need to follow. Viharasya. Here Prabhupada translates as recreation. Please repeat. Yukta. Regulated. Chestasya. Of one who works for maintenance. Karmasu, in discharging duties. Yukta, regulated. Swapna avabhodhasya, sleep and wakefulness. Yoga, practice of yoga. bhavati becomes dukkha, diminishing pains. So the word that was repeated in three out of the four lines, yukta, regulated. Regulated is the symptom of a yogi. There are two people, yogis and bogies. A bogi is someone who thinks that the purpose of life is simply enjoy. A yogi also wants to enjoy, but has a little more intelligence and knows that there's no such thing as unlimited material enjoyment. It is impossible. Drink and drink and drink and drink, what do you get? Hangover. You eat and eat and eat and eat, stomachache. So, and any material pleasure, you overindulge, then you have a reaction, a painful reaction on the body and in the mind. So a yogi knows that the secret to happiness is regulation and control. So here Krishna is saying, what is this regulation? You are regulated in eating. That means there's a certain diet, which we call the vegetarian or Krishnatarian diet. And you are allowed some recreation. Householders especially have a license for recreation that maybe sannyasis and brahmacharis cannot afford. But as householders, we are allowed some recreation. But that too has to be regulated. And then here, of one who works for maintenance in discharging duties, this brings to mind one of Prabhupada's aphorisms. Plain living, high thinking. Not plain thinking, high living. There's a big difference. High thinking, plain living. And even in the first canto, this concept is there. That one should work simply to keep body and soul together. We shouldn't be working 22 hours a day just to afford a big car and a new house. You work, you do your duties, but keep in mind that also should be regulated. You're working for maintenance. Yes, you have to maintain your own body. That was mentioned in chapter 3, that everyone has to work. And Krishna pointed out, even for the upkeep of the body, you have to work. So nothing wrong with work. And householders, we have to work. So that work should be regulated, and the purpose should be simply to maintain. So I have to maintain my body. I have to maintain my family's bodies also. That's part of being a householder. We have to take care of our situation, our house. So you're allowed to maintain it. You're allowed to be comfortable. But it should not be overboard. There should be a balance. That's why this word yukta, regulated. Yes, work. Work nice. But not that that's all you do. Like some people think, I've heard it said, you ask them, and they'll tell you, oh, work is my religion. Well, that's not what Krishna says. Don't make work your religion. Work is part of your religion, but don't just work, 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 work. No. Do your job, do it nicely, but then there's a balance. Then sleep, yes. Wakefulness and sleep also should be regulated. And if you do this, instead of being a bogey, If you're a yogi who is living a regulated life, dukkha, this is how to diminish pains. Not that you can get rid of them altogether. There's always going to be some pinprick. There's always going to be some problem. After all, there's birth, death, old age, and disease. I don't know about you, I'm not liking old age too much. How you guys? Well, you're still young yet. Anybody older than, I'm 61. Anybody older than me? I'm the oldest one in the group. Let me tell you, as you get older, it ain't so much fun. So take care of yourselves. So if we are yogis, as outlined here, then there should be diminishing pains. All right, let's see Prabhupada's translation and purport. Please repeat. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So let's see what Prabhupada has written for his purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada says, extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. In chapter 3, Krishna said that there are two kinds of people. The devotees eat food which is offered first as sacrifice. So that's one kind. The other kind is people who eat for sense enjoyment. He said, those people are eating sin. So this prasadam means food offered first for sacrifice. Okay, Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milk, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the duty, in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness. So that's my part of my resolution for this year. At the Ketrapal program on New Year's Day, I publicly said that part of my New Year's resolution is this: always alert in the discharge of duties in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Avyartha kalatvam. A Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. So that's another aspect of my personal New Year's resolution. I want to get to that stage where I'm not wasting even a minute without being engaged in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasadam nor even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads 300,000 names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interest. And thus his work is always regulated and is untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I take questions, I'd like to sing a song. All right? Let's see if you can follow along. You guys can play the drum. Okay? I think you will like the song. I think you'll like it. All right. Can you hit that note? That's a G. Do you know what a G is? Pump, let's see. Lord Gauranga's calling. Please chant the holy names in every town and village. There's no time for playing games. You know it's time to wake up, find out who you are. Wake up, it's time to wake up. You've been dreaming on a star. Lord Gauranga's calling. Please come and dance with me. And when you chant, you'll be happy. Try it and you'll see. This is how we chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now your turn, sing. Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Sing again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, hare. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Now we can have questions. You want to start? Does anybody have a question? Oh, by the way, excellent cartels. Excellent. And drummers. Great. Were you able to follow? Good. No questions? Okay, here's the thing. Think of your body as a car. And depending on the kind of body you have, the kind of work that you do, the kind of job that you have, and your psychophysical nature, Prabhupada used to say for devotees in the temple, 6 hours. Now, for those like you and others who are living outside, you have a particular kind of job, you may require more. For instance, those who would work on a farm, they may need 7 or 8 because of that heavy labor. Now, in the Bhagavatam, it says sleep is a function of the intelligence. There are 5 things that deal with intelligence. One of them is sleep. And even it says in the karmi world, material world, that if you have a big test, you should get plenty of rest the night before. Have you heard that? Yes. Some people think, oh, I'll cram and cram and cram the night before. That's actually not very good, according to what they say. Which sort of supports what the Bhagavatam is saying. So, you may need to take more than 6, because you need your intelligence to be fresh. So, 6 is like you could say the guideline, but if you need more, according to your particular psychophysical and your particular situation, take more. Does that make sense? For my years of practicing Krishna consciousness, I have always preached that things should be done on a very practical rather than fanatical, because there is this thing called niyamagraha. That the rules and regulations are meant to serve and help us become successful, not that the rules and regulations become a distraction or a means of their own. No. So we have the guideline. Now you may have to adjust, and being a householder means you have that facility to adjust according to your needs. What do you find? I know you're a teacher, which means you expend a lot of mental energy, not only teaching, but dealing with the students. Am I correct? In fact, I would go so far as to say the hardest part of your job is dealing with the students. That probably drains you the most. If you need more, take more. You like that? Good. What else? Yes, sir.
In the early days when devotees would join our ISKCON temple, I personally heard that devotees would say, and they would even push the Prabhupada saying that devotees should pick the sad until they waddle like a duck. Why would you think that could be the case? I mean,
okay, so the understanding was that was for beginners, just for 2 reasons. To get them fully satisfied with Krishna Prasadam, people who are still very much tied to the allurements of the material world. Like in my case, I didn't give up meat, eating meat, until the day I lived in the temple. I had been coming for a couple of months, but I was not able to be a full-time vegetarian until the day I moved into the temple. So when I would go to the Sunday feast, I was definitely one of the ones they were telling, make sure you eat so you waddle home. So it was to purify somebody coming in the early day, in their early beginning stages, just to get them purified and also attached to eating Krishna prasadam, which was not hard. Because I remember when I was first coming, that's why I joined the temple. You must have heard me say a million times, I joined the movement for the food. That was the main thing. Everything else came later. But it was the food. So, yes, we even say, take prasadam to your full satisfaction. Now, as you become more spiritually advanced, you begin to realize that you don't need the same amount of quantity to free you from material allurement as you did in your early days. I believe that was the thing. Okay? What else? Okay, so on this concept of taste, so we read in the Bhagavatam verse, first there's faith. So if to get the taste, because the very nature of the practice of Krishna consciousness, susukam, it's a joyful process. So by the application of any aspect of Krishna consciousness should give you some kind of taste. As I said, for me it was the food. I know for others it was the philosophy. For others it's the kirtan. For instance, I don't know if you have noticed, I have noticed, but many of the children of Prabhupada disciples, they don't have a taste for japa, but they do have a taste for kirtan. Am I right? Have you noticed that? Yes. So, and for other people, it's the books, or maybe it's cooking for Krishna, or worshiping deity. You should find something that you like to do and culture that. For me, it's music. I cultivate music for Krishna. That's one of my... Now I have many tastes. Preaching. I have a taste for preaching. I have a taste for studying Prabhupada's books. I have a taste for music, songs for Krishna. So you should find some aspect of Krishna consciousness that you like to do and cultivate that. If you lose your taste, then the only solution, if you've lost your taste, is hearing in the association of devotees. If you stay hearing in the association of devotees, then you cannot lose your taste. So that's the ultimate secret of success. Hearing in the association of devotees. Of course, don't commit offenses. And all of that, even committing offenses, that is also safeguarded, having association of devotees. That's why I like to do what I'm doing, these programs in people's homes, because it means on a regular basis, I'm getting the association of devotees. Come to the temple. Do your week. Do you do it every week? Every other week. That's fantastic. Then you won't lose your taste. How many years you've been doing this? 7 years? 6 years. So you must have a taste for it, otherwise you would have stopped. Yes. So the question that begs the question, why Maharaj said, don't try it. So the answer is that those particular devotees are fortunate that they were able to get back into it. Because depending on the seriousness of the offense, you may try and not get that taste. So these particular individuals that he's referring to, they're fortunate that they were able to. And the reason they're fortunate is because they were continuing to do service. So that was preventing them from losing all kind of taste. But if I give up chanting and then give up all other service, then that's not good. Not good. Yes. 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 Okay. The very purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita is to get firm faith in Krishna. So reading Bhagavad Gita is one way to get faith. But it's mentioned, what you were referring to, it's the association of those who have the faith. That's the key. When you meet, like, okay, I'll just say for myself, and probably it's true for hundreds, if not thousands of others. By Prabhupada's presence, he created that faith for so many faithless persons, like myself. Hearing and seeing Prabhupada was itself the faith booster. I remember the first time I saw Prabhupada. My conclusion was I have found, finally found the living 1973 version of Jesus. Having been raised Catholic, having been, I was familiar with the Bible. When I saw Prabhupada, for me it was, now I get it. Now I understand what it was like when Jesus was on the for me, it was like all the doors of perception were opened. I got it. Everything became revealed. So, association with a pure devotee or an advanced devotee is another big cause for faith. Or it could also be a particular incident in one's life which turns them around. A near-death experience. The loss of a... What does Krishna say in the Gita? Four kinds of persons come to me. So sometimes Krishna does things, puts us in situations where the only option is to try to get that faith. Either destitution, or you become so inquisitive, right? Or you actually become seeking the absolute truth, or you want something. When, before coming to Krishna, when I was in school, somehow or other, I used to pray for things. And sometimes I'd get it. And there was one time I prayed all day, I want to hit a home run in the game today. And I was praying nonstop through school, on my bicycle, on the way to the game. I was just praying to Jesus. And the pitcher on the other side was the meanest, fastest. He was the topmost pitcher. And he was scary. But I had been praying the whole day. And I hit that ball. Even the umpire went, huh? Everybody was like, where did that come from? And I knew, hey, thank you, Jesus. So, there are things can happen in one's life that can give you. Like, I've been approached by people over the years with this very same thing. And I will sometimes say to a person, okay, I'm not able to convince you, but I pray that you meet someone or something happens to you that you get the necessary faith. Like that. Because sometimes people are too much affected by material science, and so they become complete hopeless characters for understanding anything about God. Science has so much warped their brain that they have become tantamount atheists and convinced pure atheists because of science. Right? And even if they want to, that, because I had a conversation about a month ago with someone. And he was trying to debate with me over the email. You know, and no matter what I said, he had his scientific argument. Ultimately, after about five emails, I said, look, I can't help you. You know, there's nothing I'm going to say to convince you. So I said, I hope you meet somebody. I hope something happens that you, you know, because he was trying. He wasn't, offensive, but, he's so locked in to the scientific explanation that no matter what I said, didn't make any sense to him. So I think you have to meet someone who is able to instill that faith in you, or some kind of intervention where you know, something happens in your life to change you. For some people, it's having their first child. That could be such an experience that, you know, it makes them appreciate the potency of God. Or maybe they came this close to dying, you know, like that. More questions? Yes. Again, you maintain it. Once you get that faith, now, like your creeper, we all say, when the spiritual master plants the seed of devotion in your heart, now it's your job to water that creeper. So yes, once you get that faith, now you have to become diligent. Study the books. Stay in the association of devotees. Don't squander. In other words, don't take it cheaply. I've said many times, belief in God is a gift. That was one of the things I said to this guy. I was having an email. I said, it's a gift. Because he wants to come to the understanding of God through logic. Any logic I present is going to be nullified by his scientific logic. You know, we have tons of logic, but at a certain point, getting it means a blessing. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many, many births, the jnani becomes a believer, right? So, to get that faith in God, that's a gift. And therefore, I have to treasure it. If you get a very nice jewel, either inheritance or from your husband, you take care of that. You don't just let it lie around so that, you know, it could get... No, you protect it. You keep it in your jewelry box. So the same way, getting this gift of faith, now you have to take care of it. Become conscientious. Study. Association. Lord Chaitanya emphasized this. Association of the... And we used to say in ISKCON, why did Prabhupada create an international society? Because on our own, forget it. On our own against this insurmountable material energy, good luck. Right? But when you're in the association of devotees, relief. Relief. What else? Pranjali. Yes. You get angry? This is not possible. But go ahead. That's a different question. Go ahead. Okay, now, you brought up an interesting point. So, you get angry when you see something wrong being done. That's not anger. That's different. Prabhupada mentions this. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is inciting Arjuna's anger. There's no way you can fight and be Om Shanti. If you're going to fight, Right? This weekend, Sanjay knows, there's big football games going on. So if you ever watch the beginning of those football games, the guru of the team, right? He gets those guys, they're chanting. Like there's this famous player, Drew Brees. He has the whole team chanting with them. They're getting fired up. They're getting angry because the whole game of football is kill them. Legally. I mean, there's some guys, that's their mentality. I'm going to knock you out. So now, there is a proper place for anger. So we should get angry at ignorance. We should get angry at injustice. We should get angry with gross materialism. Okay, now the next thing is how to channel that intelligently. That's the key. When Krishna says lust, anger, and greed, he's talking about the anger that arises from the frustration of trying to enjoy the senses. That's different. In the Bhagavad Gita, you contemplate the objects of the senses, you develop attachment, you desire to enjoy, but that enjoyment is limited and temporary, and therefore you become frustrated and you become angry. That's different. That's the anger that leads to hell. This other kind of anger has to be guided by intelligence. That's why we have guru, sadhu, and shastra. I'm feeling something. All right. Thinking, feeling, and then there's willing. So I don't just react. When I, in the years I was vice president of LA Temple. So the first time Subhas had to leave and I was going to be in charge of the temple for a few weeks. Subhas told me one thing. He said, while I'm gone, people are going to come up to you and they're going to want you to make a decision and they're going to want you to act right now. He said, you don't react. You think about it and take your time before you don't just react. And I'm so glad that I listened to that because New Dwarka can be a tough place, right? Because you got this person, why ain't you, and you got this, and you got to get both sides of the story. So you are feeling something. Now before you will, you're guided by your intelligence. That intelligence comes from the shastras, from your spiritual master, and from other saintly persons. Now you act intelligently with a cool head. And you make a plan how to correct the injustice, how to deal with the ignorance like that. Therefore, study, follow Srila Prabhupada, or if you have a spiritual master, and get advice from other advanced devotees. Make sense? Good? All right. What else? You, of course.
Exactly what I'm going to say. And they also went.
I took one of those courses, and the thing that I really liked, the devotee said, you have to analyze who owns the particular problem. Here is the situation, but whose problem is it? Is it my problem? Is it who owns the problem? That's where you begin. In order to do that, you need intelligence. And as I said, the intelligence comes from, like for me, it comes from my wife. Yes? No, I get, yeah, when I see injustice or ignorance or incompetence, I get angry, but I have to use my intelligence. Just getting angry doesn't do anything. Now, how do I use my intelligence? You have a question? You had your hand raised. As far as I know, you're not held accountable for your mental offenses. That's because it's Kali Yuga. If we were held accountable for our mental offenses, we'd be finished. In previous ages, it was different. In previous ages, the consciousness and the senses were so advanced that by thinking, something could actually happen. Fortunately, it's Kali Yuga, so that doesn't happen. So you're not held accountable. But you should gradually come to the stage by hearing and chanting and proper execution that this becomes less and less and less. But you're not held accountable just because you thought something. Okay? RT. Okay. Who's going to lead? I will lead if I have two drummers and Pranjali plays harmonium.